Hey, this is Miss Melissa, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you are listening to Tales from the Tub. This is the Dog Days of Podcasting, Saturday, August 22nd, 2015. Coffee, tea, or me? So I have this theory, she said, walking up to her favorite barista, about tea. Tell me. Okay, so chai is the Hebrew word for alive or living, but it's also the word for tea in Russian and Hindu and a bunch of other languages. Tea is life. Well, then what's coffee? He asked. That's from 100 Days of Note Cards, day number 31. I have been a coffee addict practically since I was born. I tell people I was weaned on espresso. That's not entirely true, but when I was 5, I would ask my mother for coffee milk, which was usually less than a tablespoon of her coffee mixed into my glass of milk, just enough to subtly change the flavor. I have never liked cold milk. I have liked warm milk even less. With the exception of this, I like cold milk paired with chocolate cake on the morning after my birthday only. Every other time, if I'm having something sweet, I prefer coffee. There are exceptions. With anything raspberry or raspberry-like in flavor that does not have chocolate in it, I prefer strong Earl Grey tea. It goes especially well with a raspberry rhubarb crumble that Greenlee's Bakery used to make, and it goes really well with olali berry pie. Living in Texas, I don't get to have olali berry pie. It's one of the things I most miss about California. But I digress. I fell in love with tea as a teenager. Now, as a child living in Colorado, Celestial Seasonings was still a big thing in the 70s, It was when they were sort of in their heyday. They had bike races like the Red Zinger Classic and Morning Thunder. Their caffeinated tea was something that I was very familiar with. They had a children's tea called Pelican Punch that was made with carob and cocoa and mint and a couple of other things. And it was one of the teas that I remember drinking as a child. And of course, there was always chamomile if someone wasn't feeling well. But I didn't really discover dark teas, black teas, real tea, until I was a teenager. I was on a weekend trip with my parents to Carmel, California. And I wandered around with them for a while and then went off on my own. Now, this was before cell phones, and I was too young for a pager. So our meeting place was a designated building where we'd first arrived on whatever street, and I had a time, and I was supposed to check my watch and meet them back at whatever the store was at X time. I wandered around for a while. I went in a bookstore and nearly got lost in books, as I usually do, and then I turned a corner and found in one of the cute little fairy tale houses that populate so much of Carmel, a tea store. Now, I don't know the name of the store. I didn't remember it within minutes after leaving it, even though I bought stuff at the store. I have never been able to find it again, except on one other occasion, and when I talk about it, no one knows what I mean. I don't think it's still in business. There are other tea stores in Carmel now, but they are not this store. This one was dark and a little bit spooky, and there was a lingering air of sort of pipe tobacco in the background. And I was greeted at the door by a bald gentleman wearing a dapper plaid vest and speaking in an accent that probably used to be Irish at one point. I think he sensed a kindred spirit, someone who was fond of things a little bit magical and a little bit off the beaten path and wasn't afraid to try new things. He gave me a tour of his store. He told me the stories of all the teas, and I left with a quarter pound of Russian blend, which to this day I still believe smells like rancid bacon, a half pound of a really, really heady Lady Grey tea, and a quarter pound of something called Orange Mélange, which was a basic black tea infused with orange. I got home from that weekend, And I indulged myself in one of the activities that would become my favorite during my high school years. I waited for my parents to be long asleep, crept out of bed with a favorite book, went downstairs, brewed a pot of my orange melange tea, and took a stack of napkins and a couple of navel oranges to the table and got lost in alternating between drinking tea and nibbling on oranges and reading whatever I was reading at the time. I have always had sort of eclectic taste in reading, going from fiction to biographies to history to what Mark has referred to as genre fiction, and which I agree with him is a really, really bad name for anything that isn't just basic contemporary fiction. Everything is a genre. I mean, romance is a genre. Contemporary literature is technically a genre. Using genre fiction to mean science fiction and fantasy, I think, is really, really limiting. But again, I digress. So I would sit there reading whatever I was reading. I remember at least once it was the novelization of Nicholas and Alexandra. We were studying Russian history in school, I think, that year. And I would pass all these wee hours of the morning. And then, because I have an overactive imagination, I would run as fast as I possibly could back upstairs as I turned out lights behind me, because the shadows might get me. I still have an overactive imagination, which is why I can't watch the show Supernatural, because it hits me exactly in the sweet spot of my amygdala, where things like Nightmare on Elm Street and Hellraiser and Saw do not. I think because those are all very implausible. And even though Supernatural is also equally implausible, it's written in such a fashion that it just niggles that part of my brain. I can't watch it alone. I have the same problem when I'm trying to binge watch things like Criminal Minds, which I love because the writing is fantastic and the performances are awesome, but I can only watch about 3 episodes and then I have to call my husband for a cuddle. But anyway, I've never found the tea shop again. Nobody knows that it exists, except me, apparently. It's like my own personal tea store brigadoon. Tea is life, but coffee is my higher power. Coffee is what I drink in the morning to get started. Coffee is what I usually have with me when I'm writing, with the exception of that if I'm writing a letter or if I'm trying to be really introspective, I'll choose tea. I like coffee on snowy days. I like coffee on hot afternoons, often iced, but sometimes still hot. I favor flat whites and cortados, and I have a cappuccino maker in my kitchen, even though half the time what I really want is the ambiance of a cafe and not the coffee itself. But tea is what I save for wee, wee early mornings when it's like still gray outside and false dawn hasn't even really taken over and I'm up with a dog, because it's just a gentler drink. Tea is what I like to drink when it's rainy and stormy, and even though my head is pounding from the pressure systems that are making it rainy and stormy, I have to be doing something creative, and tea is my favorite accompaniment for what my aunt likes to refer to as lamplit days. Coffee is my higher power, but tea... tea is life. The Bathtub Mermaid is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Music for this episode was provided by Mebio's Music Alley, a great resource for PodSafe music. Visit them at music.mebio.com. The opening song is Soap in a Bathtub by Stony. The closing song is You Can Use My Bathtub by Little Tom. The Bathtub Mermaid is produced and recorded using Boss Jock and Audacity. You can contact me by leaving a comment at the website, www.bathtubmermaid.com, by finding me on Twitter, at Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or by sending an email to Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, at starfleet.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.
Still it shows, but you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub.